Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good, and we also have our other co-host on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing. Freezing my ass off.
Well, as someone who has to suffer in over 100 degrees for like 4 months out of the year, I enjoy the cold, so as long as my car is not in danger of sliding over the roads, I'm actually fine with this weather. But I do have a question for you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just received a text from this asshole that lives in Guam, and he was telling me if I've heard the story or the news about them closing a bunch of Texas highways for fear of ISIS terrorist attacks. Have you heard anything about this?
No, I don't pay attention to the news. To the first thing, I don't know what's going on in the world. Unless it's on, happens on my Roku or something.
Craig, have you heard of this news?
No, the only thing I've heard today is Spock passed away.
I don't even know what ISIS is. If you can believe that. So I've heard the term, but I'm not really sure what it is. So.
Well, it's this fucking terrorist group that stole the name of the fucking the security force from the TV show Archer. So goddamn Archer had to change their freaking name from ISIS because of these fucking terrorists. So now they're just not even killing people. They're fucking over good TV shows, fucking bastards. But to go back to Spock, that is actually pretty sad news. I mean, I pretty much grew up with Star Trek. I mean, my entire life almost. I mean, as long as I can remember Star Trek. I remember one of the first movie, memories that I can remember going to a movie theater is going to see the original Star Trek, which kind of sucked. The first one sucked. It was so goddamn long and boring.
It was a horrible movie.
Yeah, the first one was horrible. I mean, the TV show was so awesome, and then the movie was such shit. And then when Wrath of Khan hit, then it became like the greatest thing ever. I mean, I think Wrath of Khan is one of the best movies ever. I mean,
that's one of the best sequels of all time, I think.
Yeah.
Except they were like
and
Empire Strikes Back and stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just like a sci-fi movie. I mean, the acting in this movie is fucking out of this world between Spock and Kirk and Khan. I mean, Ricardo Montalban was fucking brilliant. He was brilliant in this movie. I mean, it was awesome.
They killed Spock, and we had to go find Spock on the planet in the next movie, and his son got killed and all that shit.
Yeah, but Wrath of Khan was the best. Your thoughts on Wrath of Khan, Craig?
Oh, it was a great movie. It freaked me out as a little kid just because of that little scorpion-looking gimmick that they put in the guy's ear.
I thought it was the best aspect that they've done or that's ever been.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the new ones, the J.J. Abrams ones. I think those
are they're really good.
Really tremendous, but it's sad day. So.
Well, Carlo Montalban is still better than the most recent Khan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely blew the new Khan away. That's for sure.
I like the new ones with Leonard Nimoy showing up. Some people didn't like that. I like it.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not.
Yeah, it was
I wonder if I'm real into Star Trek, so I'm not bothered by any continuity or whatever people want to complain about with these movies, so I don't care.
Yeah. No need to be a purist on everything.
Yeah. But he was also in, I remember he did that one little skit for The Simpsons that was pretty awesome way back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah.
When they were making the monorail.
Yeah, the monorail.
Did something happen with Star Trek? Did I miss something happening with Star Trek while we're talking about this? Not that I'm complaining, I just...
Yeah, Spock died.
Yes. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's why we brought this up.
Oh.
Yeah,
he was...
It's not really funny.
What, 86? You know. He was old, I mean. Okay.
He passed away today.
Huh. I'm surprised he's still alive beyond with me.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't for those movies, for the new Star Trek movies, I would have thought he hadn't been, because he, until those movies came out, he really hadn't made any news for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting old, not working as much, but he had some kind of a disease. I just read it on one of the news clips. I don't even know what the disease is or what it does to you, but it just, you know, he was old. I mean.
Yeah,
using some of that triple blood from the second movie.
Yeah.
Bringing back.
It's not like he died in a hang gliding accident. He was 83.
Yeah. Never gotten into Star Trek except for the last couple of years when all those series were on Netflix. They're pretty good. I never watched them when I was younger.
So I've been watching the TV show for as long as I can remember. I mean, honestly, I've probably seen every episode probably 10, 20 times over in my lifetime.
Yeah, I like the Next Generation was good. I also like the, you watch Enterprise? I thought that was pretty good.
I never checked out Enterprise, but I did like the, what was it, the Next Generation? Or the New Generation, whatever it was. And there's one of their movies is, I think, the second best after Kong. Can't think of the title right now, but it's the one where they were trying to turn the Borg were trying to turn Data and give him human skin. That one was awesome.
I like the one where Captain Kirk showed up and they killed him.
That one was okay, but it's sad that he died. I only set the show for an hour tonight, so we'll go ahead and get jumped into the news. Well, I guess we should talk about Fastlane first, since it was this past weekend. Where did you guys see
about Fastlane? I actually didn't send it, Craig, any news because we've been busy all day. It took me three hours to go home. So,
there's a couple things we can talk about, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Fastlane is going to take up the majority of it, too, by the way.
Hey, Craig, have you seen this indie wrestling channel on Roku?
Yes and no. I mean, I know it's there.
It's horrible.
And, there's a couple of, on GoFight Live, every so often they'll have lucha shows. They air on a weird, they air on a Tuesday night for whatever reason, and they're completely free. But, Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it, but not enough to hold my interest, if that makes any sense.
What do they show on there?
Like really low end indie wrestling.
Like
guys, yeah, never heard of.
Yeah. Okay. So is this a different channel than the WWN Live Roku channel?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever watched that one? Because I think there's a shitload of Shimmers. The early Shimmers are on that channel, the WWN Live one.
I don't think that's on Roku, is it?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
I know they're working on Roku channel for it, but I don't think they've launched it.
Now this is like wrestling that is held in your local armory, and some guy got the building for free and called his neighbors over to act out a match they saw with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Barbarian, and it's really bad.
So
there was a match with Axe, Tim, and with Robert Gibson at some outside show. And it was Tyler Black and Jimmy Jacobs match. That's about the only thing I've seen that I've written.
Now, would this wrestling be better or worse than the wrestling that was on Brian Alvarez's, what do you call it?
Tulalip.
Not Tulalip, dude. When he was young, he had the channel that he had to pay for or... What do you call that channel?
YWF.
The Youth Wrestling Federation or something like that?
The YWF.
The YWF, where they had, he even had graphics for his TV show.
Yes. some of it that I've seen was worse than the YWF, but it's along that same lines.
Now, speaking of indie wrestling, I actually did go to an indie wrestling show. Since we didn't do a show last week, I didn't get to talk to about it. But it was actually a pretty loaded, as far as indie show-wise, as far as talent. It had Lance Archer, who just got back from Japan because he had just wrestled in Japan the night or two before. It had ACH.
Mm-hmm.
It had Mr. Touchdown from Chikara, who's... actually pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
They brought in the Mountain, Vanessa Craven from Canada, who is I posted a picture, I don't know if you saw it, but this girl is as big as me, and she literally scared me. I thought she would kill me if she wanted to. And then of course they brought in my good personal friend Leva Bates, who was wearing the blue pants, but she was actually evil blue pants because she was doing Cobra Commander and had an awesome costume. But it was actually a pretty awesome show, man. That Inspire Pro Wrestling in Austin, as far as an indie, that's a top-notch promotion, man. The venue is fucking awesome. Like I said, they bring in a lot of fucking people. It was fucking great. The funniest thing about this whole fucking thing was in the corner of the building after the show, that's where they kind of had the gimmick stand. So the tables are making an L basically at the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So at one end, you have Ray Rowe. Ray Rowe was also on the show. Had his big ass. Next to him, you have Leva Bates. In the corner, right where the corner is, you have Mr. Touchdown. Next to him, you have Vanessa Craven. And then next to her, there was another girl wrestler. And, of course, you know, all the people want to talk to, they just want to talk to the girls, so... Ray Rowe, because he's at the end, had a few people talk to him. But I watched Mr. Touchdown stand there for 30 minutes, surrounded by people talking to Vanessa Craven and Leva Bates, and no one said a goddamn word to him. And even though he was in the best match of the show, it was fucking awesome. But I just felt so bad for the dude. But it's like I didn't know what to go talk to him. Plus, I would have had to fight my way between all the people trying to get to Leva and Vanessa Craven. But I felt so sad for Mr. Touchdown, dude.
That's very sad, actually.
Yeah. It was, another thing that was real different from this indie show was in the main event. It was like a six-man, and it featured Ray Rowe, who is humongous. It's featured this other dude, Frankie D'Angelo, who looks like an Italian Goldberg, basically, or an Italian right back. And then this other guy, I forgot what his name was, but he's some champion from the NWA. These were three of the most jacked up motherfucking indie wrestlers I ever seen in my life, all in one ring. Usually you won't see any like that, maybe one. But in one freaking match, you had three just fucking freaks of nature. It was like, you know, Inspire wasn't doing wellness tests before the show. But yeah, it was a good show.
Did you see the indie show lineup for the WrestleCon show?
Aren't they like changing constantly? Like, didn't Ricochet change shows just recently and everything?
Yeah,
crazy.
The show is running against the Hall of Fame, but the names scheduled to appear are Disco Inferno, Jake Manning, Cedric Alexander, Caleb Conley, Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Stryker, Abyss, Big Rick, Brian Myers, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae, Matt Sydal, and the Dudley Boys. The match is confirmed for the show. We have a six-man with Jushin, Liger, Ricochet, and AR Fox against Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, and Roderick Strong. We have a five-on-five captain's team match with Captain Colt Cabana versus Captain Chris Hero. We have ACH versus the former John Morrison. And in the main event, Matt and Jeff Hardy versus Rob Van Dam and Sabu.
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded show for the WrestleCon one.
It's a huge show.
Yeah. And then ROH, you know, just this past week added Jushin, Thunder Liger, and Samoa Joe, so that's also going to be pretty. There's some big shows that weekend.
There's some huge shows that weekend, especially the one on Sunday.
Actually, that's probably like the least thing I'm looking forward to.
I know, right? Until they announce the four-way or five-way ladder match, they announced that for the Intercontinental Belt. So that'll be good.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, how did Brian go from the main event 1 year to like six, seven matches down the next year? Especially when he's still getting the biggest reactions compared to everybody.
He fucked up and got hurt.
Even still, he would have ended up getting squashed by Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
so.
That's fine.
Yeah, I know.
Either way, he was screwed. It's either be hurt or feud with Kane. He might have got lucky.
He
might be
less
hurt even now had he had to feud with Kane.
Now if he's losing the Intercontinental title, he'll lose all the time.
You know what, though? I got to give him some credit because as much as you, Craig, and as much as Brian and Vinny always bitch about these titles don't mean anything, they are pushing these two titles more in this past couple weeks than they have in 10 years, probably, maybe more. I mean, John Cena acts like he wants to win the U.S. title. I mean, if it was Hunter or Sean or anyone else, it would not be a title match at all. But it is. They are saying it's a title match, and you got John Cena looking at the belt like he wants to fucking win it. And now you got Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose. Okay, everyone else is a geek, but at least those guys are over and are higher up on the crowd, and now they're fighting over for the Intercontinental title. I mean, it actually makes you... You know, they've actually done more for those titles. I mean, sure, it won't mean anything after WrestleMania, but for right now, it's actually kind of weird.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm looking forward. I'm actually glad that Roman is wrestling in the main event, and I might get bashed for saying that, but. If Brian was in the main event up against Lesnar, it really discredits the winner of the Royal Rumble.
if he's not when they do that, in the main event.
I hate when they, you know, when somebody wins and then either you know, you lose it or you have to fight for it again, which was stupid this year the way they did it.
Normally I would agree with y'all, but I am paying for airfare. I am paying for a WrestleMania ticket. I am paying for a whole bunch of other shit. I would have liked to see the best match for myself, not for everyone else, but for myself. I would like to see the best match that would entertain me the most, and that would have been Brian versus Brock. So, you know, I'm kind of, in my own selfish way, I wish they'd had gone the other way.
That's true, but at the same time, it's like, I'm into the main event because it's nothing we've ever seen before, so it's new.
It's true.
So, there's that. And really, everything on the show is pretty new if you look at it. I mean, it's first time stuff on WrestleMania, so.
There's nothing like really like major matchups like there's been in the past, but you're right, everything is new. I mean, you know, Cena, yeah. Rusev, still kind of a new program. You know, Brock Reigns,
and it was a good match.
At it. Yeah. So Wyatt, Taker, they've never wrestled.
I'm looking forward to Sting and Triple H. I'm looking forward to see Sting in WWE for some reason.
Sting never wrestled Terrorizing?
I don't know if he ever did. Or John Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
You see the same things booked on Raw and SmackDown week after week, and if there's a six-man, you know, there's interchangeable partners, but it's all basically the same. There's nothing on Mania that we've actually seen before besides Rusev and Cena. All those other matches, yeah, some of the participants are the same. We've already seen Dean and Barrett, but you add those other guys into that ladder match, and there's a new element there. And Taker and Bray.
Good match, pretty much.
Yeah. Taker and Bray, I think, is going to be a spectacle. I don't think it's going to be a classic. I don't think it's going to be a barn burner. Absolutely. And I'm totally fine with that because both those characters are nothing but smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, the entrants are going to be awesome for both of them. It's going to be like the highlight.
They're off the chart.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the entrance they come up with for Sting. I'm thinking they come up with something pretty big.
Maybe he'll parachute in.
Well, he can't bungee because there's no roof. But yeah, you remember that dude who would like, somehow he would have like, it was a parachute, but he had like an engine and some fans, and he would like land in like the Mike Tyson match or something?
Yes, and he got knocked out for his trouble.
Yeah.
I used to do something about Sting's music. The music's hideous.
Yeah, it's not good.
They just need to go back to the old one.
Yeah, nothing beats the man called Sting.
Not the man called Sting. I don't want to hear that. He's as big as a
man
bull
called
and as big
Sting.
As a cat or something. Quick as a
He's as big as a bull, he's as quick as a cat. He does this, he does that. He's as big as a bull, he's as quick as a cat.
Bulls must be different size back then, I don't know.
That's That's one of the greatest theme songs of all time. It's right up there with, he's a man, such a man.
Man, I remember they did that song, one song that Ricky Steamboat, remember me hate him. He's a family man, he loves his wife and son, he does the best he can. Too Cold Scorpio. That was awesome. Just for the video of him, of the kids trying to skip school and then him coming up in the limo and they're going to dance to school or something like that. I don't know. It was pretty cool.
It was weird because they made all those weird Barry and Dusty, but got to use like a version of like LaGrange.
Yeah.
That's true.
They knew the book and they knew the music was shitty.
Yeah.
They're not better than those wrestling albums WWF did. Those were awesome. Diaspro, Bro, and Demolition. Those songs are great.
Yeah, some of them were okay.
I ended up having dances. I still remember that video. That was awesome.
Well, who could ever forget this? Okay, now what Frozen Cars had to do with Strike Force, I have no idea, but that was fucking awesome.
That's gonna make them look like a couple of queers.
It was their version of the Fabulous Ones. You remember when the Fabulous Ones used to take those pictures and do those video, those skits where they were like the gayest looking dudes who ever lived?
I saw him in the video with a bunch of girls in cars, and that would be it. Okay, breaking news. Breaking news, I just got a text from Vince Verhey. My buddy Sean is over from Philadelphia, and he's staying with Vince. And Vince just texted me and says, Sean is over and loaded a random pay-per-view from 1999. I swear to God, one of the matches is Big Show versus Kane. And he just...
1999. But that is a King of the Ring.
Maybe. That's funny.
Yeah,
15
years ago.
I don't mind Big Show so much, but Kane, they need to get through. He needs to retire or something. Jesus Christ, Kane.
He needs to be put out faster.
I don't understand all the Kane hate.
Name a really good Kane match that you saw.
Was somebody not named Kurt Angle? I'm sure I've seen some, but I mean, you know, it's not like there's anything that stands out. It's like he's just so overrated with the way they get the push he gets on TV. I mean, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Is Ed still with us? Are you still with us, Ed? Ah, that phone is.
Well, we're still here. Anyway.
So,
and the J&J security make that whole authority thing looks like a goof troop.
I love it. That's the only thing about
Okay, I'm back. Let me finish what I was saying. Kane might have slowed down in the ring, and he hasn't been as good in the ring, but as far as all his skits and everything else, he's been freaking awesome.
I agree. No.
Come on. When he gave that hot dog to the little guy, that was gold.
That was it, though.
I don't even remember when that was. It didn't stick with me.
It was later.
He looked like an idiot out there in his slacks wrestling. At least put him back in the red gear. Jesus.
You know what was funny, though, was like this past Monday when they were doing that skit in the office and they're trying to make peace between Randy and Seth. The Big Show was a billion fucking stars in that skit, dude.
I like the Big Show.
He's got
a lot of people don't like the Big Show. I like him.
Chops.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with him. Well, hey, man, let's get into this pay-per-view. I've also got, there's an ROH pay-per-view this Sunday. I've got that lineup as well. So let's get into the Fastlane review, and then I'll run down the ROH card.
Okay.
Cool? All right. First matchup was Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, and Eric Rowan. And they were beaten by Big Show, Kane, and Seth Rollins. This was one of those matches that, when it started, I went, when did this get put on the show?
The week before.
It's probably on the show that you don't watch. It comes on Thursday.
I see.
Yeah. This match was going, it was going okay. Nothing great. I mean, Ziggler was, he was all right. Seth was good. The ending sucked because I don't understand why you're pinning Ziggler of all people. And they really kind of made him look like a geek. I mean, it was, other than that, it was okay. But, yeah, I thought that they should have pinned Rowan or done something else. I don't know why they had to do that to Ziggler of all people.
I don't know why you pin Rowan. I don't know why you pin Dolph. I don't know why you do this match. So
get everybody on the card.
Yeah, I get some time on the card. Get Seth out there. You know,
I'd rather just think Seth and Dolph.
Oh yeah, there would have been nothing wrong with that.
Then you can have Kane on the show.
Shucks.
Gotta have Kane on the show.
Shucks. But yeah, the match was fine. Nothing crazy. But we did get Randy Orton running in here, and
so they made him look stupid the next night.
They
made him look like a complete idiot the next night.
As I said on the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday, I'm glad to see Randy Orton back just because it brings something quote unquote new to the show, and to have another good hand in the ring and another another face on TV. It's kind of nice. So,
and
you know, there's
going to be another good match at WrestleMania. I'm sure they're going to be working together, so that'll be good.
They should have just went with him being a babyface right off the bat, and it's kind of dumb them doing the storyline. But that said, it's not making him look stupid because everyone knows he's fucking going along just so he can fuck Seth.
It's like he did, and he worked with him in the tag match, and got mad when he made the tag.
Yeah, he got mad for a stupid reason. He did that on purpose to leave him hanging so he knew he would get beat. That's why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it like
everything. He was acting like he was going to kick the shit out of him.
Seth scared him, and he's like, no, I'm going to make you wait. I'm going to get you, but you're not going to see it coming. I'm going to get you when you leave. It's not making him look stupid. I thought it was making him look like mean. He's not looking foolish because everyone knows he's not fucking serious. Everyone knows he's going to turn. He's just waiting for that moment.
Why is he tag team with the guy in wrestling so hard to get Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns in?
Because what?
I said, why is he wrestling so hard against Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns if he's
Because
he's
it's
not
Randy
serious.
Orton. He don't have friends whether he's a babyface or a heel. He's just a dick.
What he should have done is he should have been planning the whole match to turn on the guy, and then he got mad over something stupid because of blind tag by Seth Rollins.
Yeah, he did it on purpose so he could leave him hanging and get his ass kicked the way he did. Totally deliberate. Let's go to the next match.
Couture is
losing touch with wrestling booking. Let's go to the next match.
No, I am losing touch with wrestling booking. People think this is good shit. Jesus Christ.
I didn't say it was good. I'm just telling you why he didn't look foolish. I didn't say it was good. I never said that.
He was trying to be friends with Seth Rollins during this match.
I could fuck him at the end. So Seth could be like, okay, we're cool. And then boom, where the fuck's my partner? And then boom, I got my ass kicked.
The smart person would have at least worked together, and then when the guy wasn't suspecting that he would have screwed him, but no, he got mad over something silly.
Okay, how about this? How about we compromise and say maybe he didn't look foolish. Maybe it didn't make him and didn't put him in the best of light, and it could have been done better. Can we all agree with that?
Oh, no, he looked foolish.
Contrary. Trying to be the voice of reason here.
Well, I'm sorry.
Next up.
Stuff just sticks out to me. It's so stupid. Some stuff don't really bother me much, but just like blatant stupidity like that, it just bothers me.
Did you have to turn off the TV and go take a walk in the mountains and enjoy the
in the mountains here in Texas?
Yeah, the mountains in Texas.
Oh, I guess. On that last Vinny show, he had that freak out.
Yeah.
He said he had to turn off Raw and go for a walk and look at the mountains.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't that bad. No. I just fast forwarded.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, next match. We had Goldust versus Stardust. I was not blown away with this. But anyway, Goldust used a crucifix pin. And afterwards, Dustin.
I think he got the pin.
Yeah. Stardust refused to shake his hand and left. So... I was hoping for a little bit better from these two, to be honest with you.
Time to go back to being Cody Rhodes.
I'm fine with that.
It was. I thought the match was okay. It was a match, but it wasn't what it should have been. It should have been more of them trying to kick each other's ass. You know what I mean? Instead of them being like a straight wrestling match, in my opinion. But I thought it was okay. I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy his
it was just the first match in the feud. It wasn't much to it.
The stupid Batman Catwoman gloves or whatever he had on, those needed go.
Yes, agreed. And then they went the next night.
Yeah, thank God.
They pushed the Jon Stewart and Seth Rollins angle a little bit further.
And he's going to be on home Monday.
That's right. We had Stardust attacking Goldust backstage right in front of his father, the cowardly bastard.
Dusty didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
It looked like he could do much.
He should have grabbed them both by the ear. Picked them
right?
both up by the ear. Listen, you two, we've got some filibustering to get done, and I'm going to take you boys to the woodshed. That was my Dusty impression.
It was horrible.
Okay. Thank you.
It was actually
okay.
Not as horrible as the booking in the main event of Raw, but still.
Thank you. Next up, we had the Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, and much to this broadcaster's surprise, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro won the titles, and I could not have been happier.
Yeah, this was.
It was a good
match.
It was a good match, and I'm thinking this will probably be like the pre-show match on WrestleMania, and they'll start it off in a good way. Hopefully, they'll give them plenty of time. I've also noticed that recently the Usos have gotten into much better shape. They've actually kind of cut some of their fat off because they're not as pudgy as they once were. Tyson Cesaro are fucking always awesome, and. In my opinion, I thought Natty blew away Naomi in this match as far as who looked hotter.
Yeah. Yeah, she looked great.
I wouldn't kick either out of bed.
Okay.
Until we're finished.
Thank you for clearing that up. I was worried for a second. Okay. Next up was the Sting and Triple H confrontation. What is there to say? That's true. Triple H came out. He was dressed in his quote unquote street fight gear. He had his he had his leather and his cut off sleeve denim jacket, and he was ready for a fight. And Sting finally came out, and they yammered on for a bit, and Triple H tried to attack, but Sting beat him to the punch. Triple H came back and destroyed Sting, went for the sledgehammer, but as he made his way back in the ring, Sting had a bat and stuck at Triple H's throat. He made Triple H agree to a match at Mania, and that was about it. Good angle.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I thought the video the next night on Sting was pretty good too. When they kind of need to explain Sting to the audience, because I think a lot of people don't know about him. So,
right.
Yeah, I would like to see a video of what Paige was doing in the ring that whole time. Let's see if the commercial were going on.
And after Triple H agreed to the match, the Sting left. Triple H tried to jump him, but Sting ended up hitting him in the gut with the baseball bat. I like this because then it led to the Scorpion Death Drop. I also like this because Sting never said a word. And
that's what I like about his character. I hope he's had enough time to get in shape to wear that fucking T-shirt when he wrestles like he did in TNA. And he looks stupid.
Well, for the next four weeks, I bet for the next 4 weeks he's going to be working his ass off at NXT. But he's still kind of older, so he might still be wearing that shirt. I don't know.
He lives here in Dallas. I didn't realize that.
We had Paige versus Nikki Bella for the Divas title. This was a very quick match. And believe it or not, the finish came after Nikki slammed Paige's head into the turnbuckle and then rolling her up with a schoolgirl.
A schoolgirl where she was supposed to grab the tights but had the hardest time in the world grabbing the tights and almost didn't grab the tights. And That kind of looked bad. The match, it actually went longer than most women's matches do, actually. And it was okay. I thought it was all right for what was going on. Paige is awesome. I thought the finish looked kind of weak because Nikki just couldn't grab her belt or whatever. She just kept fucking trying and couldn't do it. But and then the next night, you have the incident on Twitter where Stephanie McMahon is throwing props to Patricia Arquette, I think it is, about, standing up for women and this and that, women's rights. And then AJ Lee fucking chimes in with, that's how come the women in WWE don't make any money and this and that, and kind of makes Stephanie look pretty bad. And it also led to Vince. It led to Stephanie thanking AJ for her feedback, and then it also somehow got Vince to tweet that, "We hear you, we're listening," which I then tweeted him, "Hire Blue Pants."
And we will never see AJ Lee again.
I'm sure she's fine with that.
Yeah, that was they're getting nasty with each other. The fucking butt video that came out last week, where there's, 3 minutes of basically a camera on CM Punk's ass. I did not need to see that. I didn't need to see it.
You didn't have to watch it.
That's true.
I didn't.
Well, there are so many, vines or whatever you call them on Twitter that you just scroll down and there's fucking CM Punk's ass. And you go down a little more and there's CM Punk's ass. And it just wouldn't stop.
What is all this stuff about women's rights? What is it, 60s? Jesus.
Yeah, that's a fair question, Katrina.
And then it's kind of so bad that even the women are fighting with each other because apparently people are forgetting that Ronda Rousey is fighting Kat Zingano and they think she's fighting the Ariane, the ring girl, because they're cutting promos on each other more than Ronda and Kat are because Ronda says that all the fighters, like every fighter, even the lower fighters, should make more than the ring girls. And Ariane is calling Ronda a bully for picking on her like that. And that's kind of bad, too. It's actually hilarious.
Well,
okay, next up we had Bad News Barrett versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. This was one of the worst matches I've ever seen Dean Ambrose a part of. The finish came when, God is my witness, he lost his cool and started kicking Barrett in the corner, and the ref pulled him off and rang the bell for the DQ.
Why didn't he get the title if Kevin Owens got the title for doing the same thing?
That's true.
He was disqualified because he was in the ropes, wasn't he?
He was. He was
acting
like he was tied up in the ropes, but he was just in the corner. He wasn't, you know what I mean? It was stupid. That was
against the rules. That's against the law. You got to be, you can't be in that corner. Remember in the 80s when we used to, when you'd watch wrestling and say, well, the referee, you know, the guy has a 5 count, and if it doesn't break, he's DQ'd, and you never saw anybody get DQ'd. Now you see it every week. Every week it happens, it seems like.
Can you imagine if Stone Cold was still in this company and he had the guy in the corner and he's laying the boots in and he pauses for just a second, he gives him the double bird, and then the bell rings because the ref threw the match out? That is horse crap.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. Do you think 27 people would come
ref
to someone with a better finish?
See that finish every week. I'd rather just see a ref bump or something.
No, I'm tired of it. It needs to
bring back the over-the-top rope rule so it'd be easy DQs.
Sure.
I mean, if they were going to DQ him, he should have gotten DQ'd for, you know, for the referee trying to get physical and trying to stop him from attacking Wade and him punching the ref. Why couldn't they do that? You know what I mean?
I don't even know why I throw my
ass. That makes sense. You know what I mean? I mean, he assaulted the ref. That makes sense for disqualification.
They could even get creative. They could even get creative and have, you know, them in a flurry of punches, and one of them inadvertently hits the ref, and he calls for the DQ and throws the match out. Something like that. You know what I mean? So it looks actually justified.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'm surprised we haven't seen the 5 count reach like when the guy goes to the top rope these days.
Yeah.
You know how they used to count guys when they used the top rope?
Because
I guess that was supposed to be illegal back then or something like that, but you never saw anybody get to 5 when they were counting when the guy was on the top rope or something. That was always weird.
Yeah.
But you're not going to disqualify him for jumping off the top rope, but you'll count him while he's standing up there and doesn't do anything.
I know I've told this story before, but I'll tell it quickly again. The Oregon State Athletic Commission, when you go to get a license, they have a wrestling rule book, and one of the rules in the rule book says a wrestler must never leave his feet.
How do you get pinned?
I bet Hulk Hogan loved wrestling in Portland.
Bunch of German suplexes with the bridge. How you every match into like that?
Yes, they actually grabbed the collegiate rules book and I think copied it verbatim onto the professional wrestling rule book.
Yeah, so stupid.
Anyway.
I bet Andre and Big John saw that they were wrestling in Portland and they got big smiles on their faces.
Yes.
They had to do nothing.
Oh, goodness. Okay, next up, we had Rusev versus John Cena. This was a fine contest. I had no qualms about it at all. John Cena was winning the match. And then Lana started to get into the ring. And as she did, Rusev used a low blow and then kicked Cena in the head and put him in the Acolyte.
Hey, actually your notes are off there, Craig, because Rusev was winning. He had Cena in the Acolyte. Lana starts to get into the ring. Cena does get out, but then he gets kicked in the balls, not the head.
That's right.
And then got put back in the Acolyte. And Acolyte. And then Acolyte.
The Acolyte.
They called it the Acolyte.
So it called the Acolyte on Monday.
He put the John
right.
Bradshaw on him and knocked him out.
If he was like Lex Luger, he would say it was the Allocade.
Yeah.
But I liked the match. It was a good match.
Yes.
I thought Cena and Hardy ever has a bad match on pay-per-view. And this
true.
One had potential because Rusev is kind of inexperienced. But I thought it was good. I liked how it went.
I thought it was weird.
You know,
they were putting it over like it was a submission victory when it really wasn't.
You know what? The ring announcers totally sucked all night long because they were making the dumbest mistakes, okay, like when that match was over, the Cody's wife, and the winner by submission, he didn't submit. It was a referee stoppage. And then I don't know why the announcers then have to try and defend it that it was a submission victory. But then wasn't there something else with the, like one of the champions, and I think it was when, was it from Tyson and Cesaro won, and you're still or new champ, I don't know, they said something that was really wrong. And,
yes.
They were making mistakes all night long.
Well, I just mean, yeah. like the broadcast team, even more so on Monday, they're acting like it was a submission victory when he really didn't submit. He passed out. Normally they would just say he passed out.
It's like they had to defend the announcement from the match before. It's like they were. It's like, why? He did not submit. How do you submit when you're passed out? That's not submitting.
Yeah, it was a good match. I very much enjoyed it, but it was very much overshadowed by Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, this is very good.
This was the time for these two to shine. At about the 12-minute mark, Roman Reigns got blowed up. And when I say he got blowed up, he got blowed up. He was,
you know what?
He was dragging.
And you could see it coming.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it coming, too, because after like a few minutes, I'm like, you know, he looks like he's about to blow up, and he did.
That's Daniel Bryan's fault. He goes too fast.
That's true.
This is almost a one-man match. I mean, really, Bryan was fucking so awesome. He was being a little dickish, a little heelish in the match. Not like really heelish, but he was being, you know what
he
I mean?
Really
he was being a little
advantage
dickish.
For most of the match. Kind of playing the heel role in a way.
Yeah. But I thought it was great until the ending when I just was like, you know what? He's going to fucking spear him and win. And then he speared him and win. And would have preferred to have seen Daniel Bryan in the main event, whether it be Daniel against Brock or a three-way, but fortunately that's not happening.
I wouldn't want to see a three-way just because they did that last year. It would just seem too much of a repeat to me.
Exactly. This was a heck of a match. Reigns powered out of the Yes Lock. Bryan's kicked out of a spear. They did a belly-to-belly spot. Out of the ring, of course, with Bryan taking a bump. It was just a great match. And actually, Daniel Bryan was going for the knee into the corner or the IED in the corner, either one. But as he took off running at Reigns, Reigns charged him and hit him with a spear, took him out of his boots, and boom, 1, 2, 3. The guy that should have been going to Mania to wrestle Brock Lesnar is now going to WrestleMania to wrestle Brock Lesnar.
Boo.
Unimpressed.
Well, they can have another. They can tell another story later in the year when they turn Roman Reigns heel and he has to face Daniel Bryan for the title. So.
See, they should have done that already. They should have turned Reigns heel right after the Rumble. To be honest with you,
they should just put the Shield back together.
I'm fine with that, actually.
The Shield
okay,
and the Wyatts.
We got 5 minutes of. 6 minutes of showtime left. Ed, why don't you throw out the plugs now, and then we'll talk about ROH real quick.
All right. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. If you would like updates and schedules for events happening WrestleMania the weekend in San Jose, you can go to the Facebook page, which is the let's see the F4W. God damn it!
Mania.
The F4W/WrestlingObserver WrestleMania
31 events and info.
31 event and info page. That's what it is.
Yes, sir. Okay, and you can follow me on Twitter, my last name Proper and the word Jam, so Proper Jam on Twitter. You can follow me there.
YouTube.com/Couture, go there, watch stuff, I don't care.
Okay. All right, real quick, the 13th anniversary for Ring of Honor is tomorrow, and it's live from Las Vegas, but they're actually running this, taping it, and putting it on pay-per-view Sunday, March 1st, and it will start at 7:30. Your time may vary. That's Eastern Standard, by the way. We have a grudge match with Mr. ROH, Roderick Strong, versus BJ Whitmer. We have a triple threat tag team match with The Addiction, which is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, versus The Kingdom, Michael Bennett and Matt Taven, and The Bullet Club, Doc Gallows and Machine Gun, Carl Anderson. That should be a fine match.
I thought Christopher Daniels was in The Ascension. That one guy looks just fucking.
I know you're kidding, but I am offended. Neither one of
yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, but now I'm going to see Christopher Daniels every time I see the Ascension wrestle.
Yeah. The Addiction should come out as the Ascension at ROH. I think they can pull it off very easily.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me. We have ODB. Yes, that one. She's going to be wrestling Maria Kanellis on this show.
Five-star match.
I'm sure. ODB will be with Mark Briscoe, and Maria will come out with Michael Bennett. We have a possible show stealer right here, the phenomenal AJ Styles versus ACH. Should be a fine match. Also a possible show stealer, Red Dragon will wrestle the Young Bucks for the ROH World Tag Team Championship. We also have the ROH World Television Champion, Jay Lethal, and he will be wrestling one Alberto El Patron. And in the main event, it's a high-stakes four-corner survival match for the ROH World Championship. So basically a four-corners match. Jay Briscoe versus Michael Elgin versus Tommaso Ciampa against Mr. Warbeard Hansen.
So there is your main event.
The main event's actually kind of weak as far as the ROH main event on a big show as far as...
I totally agree, because some of those undercard matches are going to be ridiculously good.
Yeah. I mean, Hansen just won the prospects thing not too long ago, so it's not like he's established. He's just a big, scary dude. And then you got Eric Stevens with his different name trying to be Italian. And then Michael Elgin. Is there anyone who's ever, like, jumped the shark as bad as Michael Elgin? You're a big fan of Michael Elgin, Craig.
I love
you agree that
he's
kind of jumped the shark.
Ever since he did the angle where he quit ROH and he came back, he has not been the same. So I don't know what to do.
He won the one to play baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
this
is all Brian Fritz's fault. This is all Brian's. He's the one that did that interview. Asked him about playing baseball. It's all Michael Elgin's decline and end of his career is all can be blamed on Brian Fritz.
Well, that is our showtime, Ed. Why don't we play the music and go get some dinner? Well, not together, but, you know.
Okay, here we go. We'll be back next week.
See ya.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man for shit! Let's go hook him up!
Terry Funk goes crazy! tonight.